Start talking.
Mics are live.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on a number of issues, an NSP negotiated agreement affecting a number of cases, all of which were listed in the public notice for this meeting. And we had a hearing on this, didn't we? Yeah. And so we have a proposed order that has been filed with us. And I don't have any opening comments to kick things off. So I'll ask Randy if he has any. And if not, then we can have Commissioner Kalk, who's portfolio holder on this, take the lead.
I do not have any opening comments, except right now I couldn't find that proposed order. And so if there's an extra copy, I didn't want to drag the whole computer over here.
I don't have an extra copy, but I have a copy we could make copies of. Okay. I guess the floor is yours, Commissioner Kalk.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think perhaps we should wait till we get our general counsel and our staff guy back here to go too much further.
Keep hoping if we plow ahead, they'll show up.
Right. It is probably a good idea to wait, and I apologize. I must have got stuck into a different file, and I don't know which one. But
No, but I'm looking at my stuff.
Do you not have it either?
Mike's making a couple copies.
I guess
the proposed order.
Well, I guess they're doing that. I guess my thought would be we could do a quick, perusal through the proposed order and see if there's any things that jumped out back from the hearing. I had to refresh myself this morning on the hearing itself, and that's where I wanted staff to just walk me back through the process here of, if we accept this and move on, I understand that, but what if we reject it? Walk me back through what that triggers back to the rate case and everything else. Just what are the parameters here? I could not remember that vividly, how that lays out. Unless you guys can remember exactly. I wanted to...
I'd have to really think more on that. We had a... If we reject this one, we had another agreement, a settlement agreement that they had filed prior to that. And so that would just continue to stand wherever it was. And if I remember right, there were some filing dates in that one that got extended. And I don't know where they're at this point. But we could reject this one and still tell them to come back at another filing time for some kind of a plan.
If we were to look at the pieces that this settles, so in the original agreement, they committed to thermal generation by 2035. This makes it 2025. So 2036, I should say, with the original agreement. So we would go to 2036. The community base, some of these, I think they would have failed to meet the deadline on the what did we call it? Restack.
Yeah, right.
So there were some triggers that would go into place as a result of that. This includes a rate moratorium for another year. We wouldn't have that. They'd be able to come for a rate increase by 2016 or 2017 instead of 2018. So I think those are the big things that I'm remembering.
Well, the point I was trying to get out here is that we've kind of, I think, walked ourselves to where we're at now. And I think I'm at the 95% where I'm okay with where we're at right now in the settlement agreement. Mm-hmm. So that's where I just wanted to set it up, though, where if we decide not to do this, I think what we should do going forward, if there's something we really don't tweak on this settlement agreement, we should say we don't like it and then see if another settlement agreement finds its way back forward rather than just saying we don't like it and then just see where we go. Because that's kind of where we got to where we're at now. It's been a incremental discussion, the way I see it, getting us to here today. Mm-hmm. So do we have all the paperwork of the most recent settlement agreement now?
There is nothing new.
Randy, do you have what you need?
Yes.
Yeah, the order.
The order.
I think there's a few things in this agreement that are really positive that are worth, seriously considering, one of which is the moratorium, the additional year.
Right.
And the removal of the seabed projects. Yep. That's a good one. That's $1.6 million savings. The it settles the 12CP, which is a big deal for the company.
That was the only one, Madam Chair, that I had a question on with the two of you.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I agree with you on everything up to that point, and I think maybe that still is okay, but is that something that we're ready to say okay with on the discussion? Because there's a lot of discussion. I know that they belong to MISO, but a lot of discussion in SPP right now, and MISO has had a little bit about it, about what they're going to use as the CP factor for their reserve margin. And that's kind of outside of this. Well, it's not outside of this. It's related a little bit. That's the only one I thought might bear a little more discussion.
I don't know anything about what you just mentioned with MISO, but this was a big deal to me during the rate case, looking at this and just in further discussions and further understanding of this whole process and visiting with Jerry. I think it's probably not very realistic or quite honestly real productive for us to think that we're going to change that, the 12CP, into one of the other formulas. It's been around for so long.
But that's where I say if one of the RTOs directs that they'll do their reserve margin based on a 2CP or a 1CP.
Yeah, I don't know how that works or what that impact that has.
Well, what it controls is...
Walk me through that difference then.
What it controls is what their reserve margin requirements are as MISO sets them. And MISO has a, right now, when they peak, NSP pays whatever their share of that peak is, they have to set their reserves on.
Okay.
And so that's been running like 95% of NSP's peak occurs when MISO peaks.
Mm.
And so they only have to carry reserves on 95% of their peak. And that number varies a little bit from year to year. But
so you don't think that a functional change in how the RTOs might do that really would have much bearing on this today?
Well, we can do our cost allocation between the states in whatever method that we all choose.
Okay, sure. That's the big factor on that, not the general. Okay.
And MISO is looking at whether they should have different, like on and off peak, seasonal differences and stuff like that when they do this. So.
Okay. Well, based on that clarification, I looked through the points again myself before this, and I'm pretty...
The other big one that the addition is the 2025 commitment for gas, you know, generation facility in North Dakota, which is significant.
What was the penalty on that come to fruition?
You know, I wondered about that penalty. It seems almost a little unrealistic.
Unrealistic? 50% of the excess cost of 6 biomass PPAs?
No, the penalty if they don't build by 2025, that we'll take all of their revenues or something and their birthdays.
Just what I
too.
Said. I'm looking at it right now. Unless it's, I'm looking at the wrong thing, but it says here if the combustion turbine is not in service by 2025, NSP will refund to its North Dakota customers 50% of the excess cost of the 6 biomass PPAs identified in the negotiated agreement. I don't know what that amount is. 11.
11? Maybe I was misreading that. Hold on. I don't have an 11.
Okay, well, I was reading on 4, but...
4?
That might be a different...
It's my...
I was reading
same
on
thing.
4, and it was... Okay. 50% of the revenues collected for North Dakota during the 10 years that represent the difference between actual revenues received for the biomass identified below and the amount North Dakota would have paid for the resources had they been disallowed for recovery by the commission.
Okay.
Recognizing that, if they were disallowed, we would have paid an adjusted system average cost of fuel. So when you start with the 50% of the revenues, it's not of just the revenues. It's 50% of the difference. And that might be a lot or it might be
nothing.
Somehow.
But I'm guessing it isn't going to be a ton of money.
Okay, somehow I read it.
Or they wouldn't have agreed to it.
But it also wouldn't be inconsequential, or advocacy probably wouldn't have agreed with it.
Both parties are in the room. Yes.
20 million?
Estimated to be 25 million.
5 million, yeah.
On the stand.
So. Based on that calculation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's what I thought was 25 million was a big.
That's about 10% of 14 revenue, so it's a big deal.
Yep.
It should be a big deal because
it's a yeah.
This commitment and moving it up a decade is a big part of this agreement.
Yeah.
So the, bikes on?
So. It ought to be a big deal.
Well, for me, Madam Chair, that was the only question I had as okay. a CP one. Other than that, I was okay with it.
Randy, do you have any additional issues? I had one question, though, actually.
As soon as we...
On the number 29, on my copy it's page 13, but I don't know, I might have a goofy copy.
Oh, okay.
13, 29.
Can you two look on page 13? Well, number 29. I don't know what page it is on yours. The last line of that item.
Okay. And I have different page numbers.
I don't know what we...
Number 29.
I don't have a 29.
What?
What are we looking at?
What?
I have the same pages as you do.
Oh, that's the proposed order. I was looking at the agreement.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't look hard at the proposed order only because I didn't know if the commission was going up or down on this. So
number 29. Negotiated agreement.
So the last sentence.
Okay.
So this is basically on the 12 CP. I just want to make sure I understand what this settlement states.
The settlement just states that staff is not going to argue up until that date for a different allocation.
Okay, through 2025. But that if we found that there was some real reason to change it, we still could, based on that last sentence. Is that
last sentence, I don't know what they're talking about there. They said, with respect to demand allocation methodologies and setting NSP rates, well, you know, there's lots of demand allocation factors in the cost of service study that aren't necessarily have to be 12 CP. And so I wonder if that's what they're talking about, like difference between customer classes and stuff like that.
Well, we weren't talking about that. In
the 12 CP is a jurisdictional allocation.
Yeah.
And
That should be clarified then.
I do apologize because I did not work on the order. I worked on trying to understand other parts of this for the discussion purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But
Jerry
and I would probably produce a much simpler order. If
we were
adopting the settlement, we would not be having
We would. As I looked at the order, I didn't. Now that I see it, I think I know what they're saying. Is staff and the company agree not to challenge the 12 CP on staff's side or agree to use it, but that doesn't mean the commission agrees to it. It's just that the parties won't.
Yeah.
And maybe ask them to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what was the intent there. Because I don't think the commission can bind future commissions
on this. And that was one of my concerns, too. I definitely think we can't bind future commissions to that. And I don't think the current advocacy staff can really bind future advocacy staffs. And this industry is potentially in such a state of change to look out almost a full decade and commit that we support the 12CP model and promise that advocacy staff, whoever they are in 6 or 8 years from now, is not going to suggest otherwise, I think.
I'm guessing that was
a big statement.
Yeah.
And as I was looking through this thing, I mean, we would edit it a lot.
Massively.
A lot.
We wouldn't have findings and stuff.
On this thing, so. Yeah. There were other things in there that, as I was reading them, that they jumped at me, too.
Either of you, in your working on the settlement, are there issues that you think we should be thinking more about that you want to bring forward?
We do have one thing that we were a little concerned about, and I think that they're going to refile the agreement with some better language or some changes to this, but that's that environmental attributes paragraph. Let me see if I can find what page that's on. It basically says that if there's no cost recovery, page 7.
It's right out, right, the first one under other. It's number 6A.
Okay.
Page
Roman numeral 6, paragraph A. Environmental attributes. And basically, it says in the last sentence, at its own discretion, without further approval, the company will be free to use environmental attributes created from a resource for which the costs are not recoverable from its North Dakota customers. And we were a little concerned about...
So credits?
Yeah, we were even concerned about even addressing these credits in this settlement, wondering with the Clean Power Plan what's coming down the pike, and who gets what credits and where they go is not, you know, it seems like that's a health department issue too. And so there's some language here that I think might be coming that would say that it doesn't apply to anything coming out for the compliance with clean power plans.
So are you saying you don't think it's appropriate for the company to clarify that if we aren't paying for the solar projects, we don't get the credits for them?
Well, you know, yeah, I don't know that who pays for these credits or the power or anything is going to be a determining factor on who gets what credit for what production that was done in the Clean Power Act. By the time the states are all done deciding whether they're going to go with a regional plan or individual plans or mass-based plans, and the health department spits out whatever it's going to try and put through as a plan. Was it produced here? Was it produced in Minnesota? If it's produced here and used in Minnesota, do we get credit for it? And all of those things are more than what we know at this point, and a lot of it probably not our jurisdiction anyway.
We often talk about our rules having the force and effect of law. Is an implementation plan, like if there's a state implementation plan, is that essentially a rule? Or how does the implementation plan, when the health department did things for mercury or something, is that a law then just automatically or what?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about the health rules. If it patterned after, say, coal mining, you know, the federal rule is in effect, and that has the force and effect of law. And then if the state has to have rules that comply, you know, once they figure out the plan, maybe they do put them in a rule, and then they're a state rule. I don't honestly know the answer to that. It would be a rule if it were like OSM kind of a directive in a state plan and in rules that complies. But I don't really know. But that's part of why we, and the more I read the language, the more stronger I feel about it. We were just discussing it this morning that it's so beyond the scope of what's happening in this agreement. And And we don't even, we have a list of some of these facilities that we know who's paying for them, okay, because it's in the settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those are the only ones that the staff and the company should say who's getting the credits. Even that seems to be a bit of a stretch for me.
So like if we're not paying for the seabed projects anymore, if there's credits associated with those, you're saying maybe it's more appropriate for that. Because we talk about those in here.
Because
yeah.
At least we've decided that. Because even the words not recoverable from North Dakota doesn't mean not ever recovered. I mean, something is recoverable from North Dakota, and then you come and ask for recovery, and then you get it or not. So even that word makes it gray. So there's several layers of problems with this language that I think don't need to be there. We don't need to get that
into
far
that.
Out into the unknown. And I would advise the commission not to approve something that far out in the
mm-hmm.
unknown.
Well, let me go back to this is a settlement agreement between staff and them. We can't just change it. We accept or reject it. We can start tweaking what they've signed an agreement. We can't just change stuff.
We don't change it, but we say these three sentences bother us, and we're on
that.
The verge of rejecting.
I understand that, but you're making it sound like we can just change it and they'll go back and sign it. It's that, that you don't, that
no,
whole thing could come
right.
on.
We're saying we have a problem with this paragraph.
What I tried to say is I think that they will change it.
And they're working on it. That's,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we've had
that's
lots
good.
Of talks about it. But I'm pointing out to the commission
mm-hmm.
the concerns that we have, Jerry and I have.
But
I appreciate that.
But to narrow the scope, like you were just talking about, that seems reasonable. If our folks aren't paying for it, why should they benefit from any potential credit sales?
Well, yeah. I don't have an answer to that. My first thought was I have absolutely no idea if the eventual implementation of the EPA rule will follow that kind of a logic or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to accept what happened. Like no matter what they say here, we have to accept. I think.
But RECs already have value, and we've already had proceedings where they've come in front of us and asked what to do with North Dakota RECs, and we say, sell them and give the customer back mm-hmm. to us, the money back to us. So we've got that's a not looking forward. That's what we've already done. So if there are, so even if there isn't a clean power plan, if there's RECs that are developed for these facilities, those RECs should be able to be credited to the people that paid for them.
And
if there was no clean power plan, there's still an issue.
Yes, I agree with, I understand that. But if you don't accept the clean power plan, you might be committing to something here that will be not consistent with the eventual plan, that's all.
I think from a philosophical standpoint, I agree with you. But what I hear you guys saying is there's a fair number of unknowns, so if we don't have to go there right now, let's not.
And I would also add, you know, you're using logic to deal with something that is illogical.
Right.
When those decisions were made on RECs, that was before a plan came out, and I know this isn't NSP-related, but we have power plants here for which North Dakota is suffering the demands of the carbon emissions from them that are completely being paid for by people from out of state. And so they didn't use logic in that part of it. So as they come up with a FIP or 50 SIPs around the country, will one odd thing be used to counter another odd thing that neither of them alone seem to make much sense? So I think it is a pretty good point that Jerry and Alana bring up, that mm-hmm. it probably is venturing into a forest that we don't need to get into on this agreement.
Well, and I guess we'll have to wait and see what they say. If they come back and say it's a deal breaker, then we go back to make a decision on what's in front of us. That's what I was trying in the beginning, to set the stage for as this thing potentially goes forward or unravels or twists and turns. We've been messing with this for quite a while.
Yeah, and I think that there's some movement here on the point is that these seabed projects that are not being paid for, that we shouldn't get the credits for them. And I don't think we're trying to take the credits for them either. We're just a little worried about what could happen in the future.
Yeah.
I don't even
remember
talking about that in the hearings, to tell you the truth.
No.
I looked at my notes.
Oh, yeah.
About we cannot bind future commissions in that discussion. I remember a lot of discussion about that. But
Are we done with that? Because I wanted to go back to the 12 CP issue and what Randy was saying about the advocacy staff. I don't know what your conclusion was on that, Randy, but it seems to me that that was a big deal for the company, probably, and might have led to the agreement on some of the other terms. So if we change that one, I would be concerned that we could be threatening the larger settlement.
$20 million swing, wasn't it, in the rate case?
Yeah, something
well,
like that.
I certainly don't object to the part of the agreement that we're going with the 12 CP plan through this and get some to 2018, and however long after that they want to wait with bringing a rate case, and that's when I think it ought to be dealt with. But
the language says 2025 for advocacy staff, and you mentioned that you don't think that you can bind advocacy staff. So I guess I'm saying, are you saying you want that out, or are you just saying you're not sure if the time comes and they decide they want to question it that they wouldn't be able to?
I think our advocacy staff in 2021 should be able to think for themselves and decide whether things have changed, and that is something that they ought to be calling for.
So you want it out?
I think it should be out.
Even at the threat of jeopardizing the other terms of the settlement, like the rate moratorium and the 2025 commitment for gas? Because I think that probably is one of the biggest concessions the company got in this deal.
Well, I don't know that it's a very good tactic to sit and go through every one of them and decide, well, okay, but this is an absolute deal breaker or not. There's multiple things here, and I guess if everything else were that we've talked about were changed and this was the only thing out there, and not sure, but I do think it is kind of a present. I don't recall us entering into these things before where advocacy staff is committed to a decade out of what their opinion is about something. And this might be important, or not might be, this is important to the company. What kind of precedent do we set that our advocacy staff is going to commit itself for that long of a period of time beyond the case at hand?
Mm-hmm. So it says in here, staff agrees to support through December 31st, 2025, the continued use of the current 12 CP jurisdictional. If they just lost that date out of there, staff agrees to support the continued use of current 12 CP, then you're not binding a future staff to it or putting a time limit on it. But maybe the company wants the time limit.
I'm not really sure why that should seem so important, really, because the company was able to come in, and assuming everything else in here ends up being finalized, they came in and made their case that is the proper method to use, and everyone seems to be agreeing on that point. And so why should there be such a worry that in 2018 or whenever the next rate case comes that all of a sudden it's going to be flipped around? There was nothing that pressed us into sticking with that from whenever the previous rate case was done. And so I just don't see why that is such a big deal, but I do think it's kind of a bad precedent to set here.
Mm-hmm. Well, but we're all...
I'm doubtful that us or advocacy staff are going to want to change it again either, because we were persuaded of this.
This is interesting from completely our Excel discussion yesterday that we flipped positions. So why in the heck, let me take a run at you the other way. So why would I bind a future commission that I'm going to approve thermal generation in 2025? We'd get rid of that, too. We don't know we're going to need it in 2025. Why the heck should that be in here?
Frankly,
I don't think we really are.
We're saying that they're going to commit to build it according to the settlement agreement. So what if they don't need it in 2025? And even though their numbers say they might need it now, that's part of it.
I would think if the economy continued as it is right now, And we got to however long ahead you would actually start construction or something like that, and their demand had tanked and everything is chaos, that they would probably be in here and we would reach a new agreement and say, that's a bad idea. And
a settlement agreement, we could do the same thing for the CP. If we, even though we signed it, if it turned out to be a bad deal, we could do the same thing then.
Well, the other thing, as Jerry pointed out, is we could, the commission, there's nothing in there that says the commission can't tackle the 12CP ourselves and look at a different formula. So, you know, if we really felt that that was the way to go.
Very interesting.
I think it
speaks to the importance of, I mean, that issue is how they collect and become whole. So us treading into those waters is a huge concern for the company. And I think the fact that that's a piece of this underscores how important that is to them.
But their rates are important too, and lots of things are important. And if we sit here and say that for the next decade, advocacy staff can't come and have an opinion about something, I just think that that
brings
an important part of the whole regulatory world where people, the customers out there, are assured that you have an independent commission basing a decision on not just the company coming in and bringing their case, but that there's an independent advocacy staff representing the consumers out there, or representing, I guess, everyone. But and if we hamstring them, that in the next rate case, there's certain things that they can't take into consideration, I don't think it's going to be that it will be otherwise, but I dislike that we would put that restraint on advocacy staff in the future.
Would you, if we added the sentence to kind of what Commissioner Fedorchuk said, understanding that nothing binds future commissioners from making this an issue in their own proceedings? So it's just an offset that, yes, staff won't bring it up, but of course the commissioners can always bring it up.
That's already in here, I think.
By default, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
let me ask a legal question here as best we can without planning the research and all that. Previous, if I decide as a current commissioner to unravel everything that had previously been done, that's my right. And if somebody appealed it and said, well, the previous commission said this, it would go to some judge. And what would the judge say?
Well, orders have finality, so you wouldn't, a commissioner wouldn't violate a previous order, but you can always do a notice of intent to amend an order.
Sure.
And you can do, everybody can do it all the time. You can do it. I can file one. They can file one. Mike can file one. I mean, anyone who thinks we need some amendments.
I want to go back.
I've been thinking of filing one on the.
If I want to go undo the Enbridge pipeline, I could notice an intent to modify.
Yes, and then you'd have a hearing and see if there was evidence to change anything. I'm thinking of doing one on the darn ADP requirement. But seriously, that's how you don't bind. So, you know, and there is a difference between the commission's actions and the staff actions. I mean, this, obviously the staff had things that they thought they acquired under the settlement also that made it worth committing to that.
Is it possible that there's a different staff in 2025 instead of staying in Florida?
No. But,
well,
I mean,
I don't think.
I can understand the point, but theoretically, let's take seabed. Staff committed to something on seabed, but staff could also be free to change its approach to that at any time, or to prairie winds, or to anything else at any point in the future if they haven't promised not to. So it jumps out at you because there's a date in there and because it's such a big issue. But when staff commits to saying allow this in rates, they're taking that same kind of position as they're saying 12CP is okay with me for 9 years.
But they wouldn't be able to, you said, if they, to Randy's point, they committed not to.
Yes, exactly.
So in this case, they wouldn't.
So they're committing to not challenge this thing and to challenge the other one and not, you know.
I agree with Randy in principle, just from a matter of not committing to keep certain things off the table. But I think in this case, because of what it is and how long it's been in existence and how much is involved in backing away from us, like us going on a 3 CP or 4 CP and the whole rest of their territory is on a 12 CP, it just from a practical standpoint, I don't think it's realistic to pursue without a lot of repercussions, so I don't see any real harm to staff agreeing to leaving it. We looked at it, and it's been evaluated by previous commissions going back a couple decades, and so I don't think that the system is going to change so much dramatically in the next 9 years that it would be something that just really has to be adjusted. So I guess I'm okay with it the way it is.
I think a lot was said when, you know, we had originally talked at a previous work session and kind of encouraged a look at extending the new rate case moratorium for 2 years. And the company came back and said, there's too much potential for change in that period of time. You know, we can't commit that long. You know, we could go 1 year, but not that far into the future. Well, this is a lot further into the future that we are, if we approve this settlement, we're saying that whoever's an advocacy staff won't be able to argue otherwise for a much longer period of time than what that rate was. I don't see very much likelihood that we're ever going to want to change that.
Yeah.
But I just dislike hamstringing them.
So if the company came back and agreed for a rate moratorium for 2 years, would you balance that out with approval of the staff holding off for the period of time? Would that spice up the deal enough? The negotiated settlement, we're negotiating.
Yeah. To me, this is just sort of a philosophical thing that I hate binding. There's not a specific concern right now that I still not necessarily thinking that for North Dakota the 12 CP is the best thing, but based on the interrelations of the multiple states and stuff, I'm not sitting here advocating that we change it. It just seems impractical now, but boy, 8 years from now, I'm not sure that that's right.
I think I hear a colleague saying that he's not really asking for one way or another, just that he doesn't really like it. So,
Same vote on something like this importance unless there's really, we've flushed out all the opportunities. If you're saying you're going to dissent on this because of that, then I don't want a dissenting vote on this type. This has been a 40-year process to get to this point with them. And so if we're not going to come as all three commissioners, then I think we need to take a run at it. So that's what I don't want a dissent on this because you bring out good points. And if you want to peel the apple back to my first comment about where should we start at, well, let's do that. But this is a big deal.
You know, I would answer that clearly if everything else were already settled, but there's multiple things in here, and I don't think I want to one by one say, well, no, this one's a deal breaker and this one's not, or how's anything negotiated?
That's why I threw out there, if you said I could support a 12 CP with a 2-year moratorium, I bet we'd see a settlement agreement that came back with a 2-year moratorium. It's that big a deal. So, I mean, okay. So what's the path forward then? We want them to, the part about through the not the RECs, but what's the 6A1? That we all agree on, that we could not support a settlement agreement with that in there, is I think what I heard.
At least in its present form.
I think it would be best to make that more general or take it out, just not address that issue in here.
I think so.
It really, we didn't spend a lot of time during the hearing and stuff talking about it. I think I remember you guys talking about it a little bit, but because we didn't explore it all that much, it does make me, as you highlighted, a little nervous that, you know, maybe there's some unintended consequences in that we didn't think about and talk about and ask about.
I think the testimony was that they were going to refile it. It's just that it hasn't happened yet because there's been a lot of iterations of it.
Okay.
I think when we questioned them, they said, yeah, we get what you're talking about.
Okay.
Refile something.
Okay, so that one should be taken care of. Did you staff have other issues that you wanted to bring forward that we should be thinking about? I see lots of highlights on yours, Alana. You just felt like coloring?
I think that we were, yeah, just looking at language, at least. Is that the proposed order you got highlighted up?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to take a step back on that, too, because that did confuse me, too, about there shouldn't be a proposed order, right? It's either adopt a settlement or not adopt a settlement.
And, well, the order would adopt the settlement.
Order, but theirs is a lot longer and more detailed than Jerry and I would write for adopting.
Wouldn't the proposed order say the commission approves the adopted settlement agreement?
Pretty much. I'd be
if you're not an SP writing it, yeah. They wrote a big, long one. I mean, that's what they chose.
Well, that's why I spent time going through this, and I forgot about the basics of go back and review the settlement agreement.
I should probably
I did the same.
Right. So I was going through all this. And
well, but I don't know. The settlement, the order captures what's in the settlement.
Yeah, that was kind of a useful way of doing it, that the key things that have been discussed throughout this whole process are laid out in there for it's kind of a refresher on what exactly the agreement is that is being made.
Yeah. As long as there isn't something in the settlement like that isn't, you know, highlighted in the order.
We
so
don't do findings of fact for starters, I don't think, when we adopt the settlement. Because you're not finding.
Right.
But we will produce a proposed order that we think is appropriate and maybe incorporate some of this for the...
That's where I'm confused, though. We can't, I mean, they have to sign a settlement agreement. So this, we're doing a proposed order, there's got to be a settlement agreement that it adopts.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be attached, and it's part of it, which is why you don't repeat everything in there.
All right, just
you
don't.
You really aren't making findings. That's the whole point of a settlement.
All right.
You know, you're not saying you win. It's a settlement.
Yeah, but the...
There's a few things you want to point out sometimes.
But the proposed order is a good read. I mean, it's almost like a brief.
Right. Yeah, and I liked all the background in it.
Mm-hmm. I like vagueness for future commissions to interpret if they need be.
Oh, well, the background just was good to go through because all the procedural history was helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that it has to be in the order, I get that. but I'm just saying, for the purpose of today, I found it helpful.
See my dog chase its tail.
Okay, we are going in circles. What would you like to do?
Well, I guess I'd like to just... I think I fleshed it out. I think I heard my colleague, Commissioner Crispin, say the 12CP wants to think about it some more, and I think we have to, we've got it, we're one thing we don't definitely agree on. And so I think if we schedule another work session for 3 weeks from now or whatever it might be, and there's no changes from any of the settlement agreement, then we'll have to probably reject this current settlement agreement if they're not willing to change that 6A in there. That's what I'm hearing.
And except it still takes two votes. I would still support it.
With the environmental piece, I don't know that I would support it.
With the environmental piece, they've already agreed to change that. It sounds like I heard that they are.
We're waiting for it.
We haven't seen it.
I'm just walking this, but if they come
back. And the RECs.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So if this doesn't change, then I'd reject it. If it changes with that in there and they keep the 12CP in there, I would be likely to support it.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they hear two of us supporting it, so they're... they're not going to change it.
Although, you know, it would probably have all three's support, even, and now I can't find that in the proposed order, but if it were less restrictive that essentially advocacy staff commits to supporting a 12CP through that whole time period, even if there were some statement in there that current advocacy staff believes that... the foreseeable future for the next 10 years or something that this model can't be changing back and forth all the time and that it should be the model that's used. Something like that indicates the opinion now of advocacy staff for a longer period than through 2017, I would not object to. I just hope that that they're willing to come to something that falls short of us imposing a commitment for that period of time on our advocacy staff.
If you think about something like I'm looking at the, what is this one? This would be the negotiated agreement filed on September 30th. At the end of page 3, it talks about their commitment for thermal generation. But I highlighted the last sentence talks about, we agree to do this consistent with least cost planning and prudent rate making principles. So it's kind of like you're, it's waffling is what it does. So you're saying if they'd add something similar to that to the end of 12CP, I think that's fair.
So, like, we'll support the use of 12CP method in any future rate filings through 2025 consistent with
least cost planning and prudent. No, that's a great,
right.
Randy, you brought out a great point, because if they're not willing to put that sentence after what you just said, but they have it after this sentence, then you know what? Then let's take it out of this one.
Well, no, it has to be there in that one. I mean, well, and I wouldn't, that's important. Of course it has to be. They can't be building it if it isn't needed.
We wouldn't.
We're saying that they want them to build it without it being needed.
We don't even want it built if it's not useful.
But something like that seems reasonable.
But, yeah, it's a good.
Right?
If there's some language like that, I don't know. It's worth looking.
And we'll cross
at.
That bridge. So maybe
I think that would go a long ways.
Okay. I don't want a 2-1, Randy. So if that, the company needs to hear that.
I don't either, you know, because we've built this relationship.
Well, it's just this is the building block of a lot of different things with this company. So,
you know, just looking at it, it extends beyond the period of this agreement time. If it was just through the current tenure of the rate moratorium.
Yeah, but so does the Hankinson thing extends beyond the agreement. So does a lot of the stuff in here. It extends for, that's kind of the whole point of the settlement.
I don't object to something not being Hankinson, in there that, based on what we know now, it's sort of our intention for a longer period, but it should fall short of a complete commitment.
Okay, so we've talked about it. Any other concerns that we should be discussing? All right, so there's a few things to, we'll check back again. Let's schedule another work session during our next commission meeting and make it kind of soon so we can get this done, don't you think?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
How long do you think they need to work on language?
Well, I wanted to make sure you understood that they've been working a lot. It wasn't like they didn't do anything. There's been a lot of talk and several variations of it, so I think probably they only need another day or two. They're probably going to file it before they go home. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay, so then if we set something at our next meeting, we should be able to set something and have something new to talk about.
Mm-hmm. We could set a work session right now if we wanted to. I mean, we're all here. It's just a scheduling
calendar.
Good job.
I have nothing on February 19th, and we could vote on it the 24th. In the morning, we could have a work session. I'm back from Nayrook that Wednesday or Thursday.
I have a 9 o'clock that morning. That'll probably take a couple hours, but I am, here. We could do early afternoon or 11 probably.
Evan's good by me.
Okay.
What about the afternoon of the 18th?
The 18th, we have a hold on that for a hearing somewhere. I'll let you know. That's our rulemaking. Yeah, that's sure. That's even a better idea, Randy.
I don't know if that's worth meeting
at 1. Yeah.
How long do those last, Jerry?
Usually about an hour.
Or until
you
want to
say
up.
2? Yeah. 2 o'clock?
I like that. That would work better for me.
Okay. 2:30 on the 18th. Work session. Jerry, will you tell Daryl, please?
Sure.
Okay.
So you could bring a proposed, have a settlement agreement with a proposed order for us to review and maybe hopefully vote on it the 24th. That sound reasonable?
Sounds great. Okay. That concludes the work session on the NSP settlement agreement. Thank you.